And today, we're going to be in 2 Samuel chapter 22. So if you got your Bibles, let's jam on over to 2 Samuel chapter 22 as we're continuing on our study in the book of 2 Samuel. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just love you. We're just blessed to be in your house today and to hear your word. And I pray that it would be water to our soul, God. Father, sometimes we can be so parched and dry, and Lord, we just need your word to flow into us like that living water, Lord, that would bring life and healing and encouragement. We love you. We honor you today, Jesus, for all you've done and who you are. May you be glorified in everything we do. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 Samuel chapter 22. We had some nice sunshine this week, didn't we? A couple days anyway, right? Like what, 3 days, and then it was gone. And I was looking through my Pandora song list, and I was checking out my songs, and I was thinking, man, I've got a good playlist. I got stuff in there like Def Leppard and The Police and Journey and Boston, some Loverboy. Who else is good? You better not be saying no Bruno Mars and none of that neither. Who else is good? Back in the day, Led Zeppelin and who? Foreigner. Oh man, Foreigner was so good. Bonnie's like, I loved, Connie's like, I loved Liberace, right? But you know, I was looking at Facebook too this week and somebody said, I may be old, but your generation will never do what we did with music. Amen? That's the truth, too. You guys, you younger, some you guys don't know nothing about nothing. Remixing and all that, forget it. You guys don't know what you're doing. But as I was thinking about those songs and the talent it takes to write them and to produce them and all of that, you know, David was a songwriter. David was a poet. David was a musician. And in chapter 22, we see David at the end of his life, and he's writing a song to the Lord, and it should be on every one of our playlists, guys. This should be at the top of our playlist, what we're going to read here about David. David is giving a praise to God, and I'm going to try to get through it all. There's a little bit to get through, but I think we can do it. And I want to show you what David praises God about in his life. And it says that in chapter 22, verse 1, that David spoke to the Lord in the words of this song on the day when the Lord had delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, and he goes into the song, but I just wanted to notice in verse 1 where it says, David spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day when the Lord had delivered him, meaning that David had a solid victory in his life. He had been chased by Saul, running from Saul, chased by his enemies, enemies trying to kill him. And now at the end of his life, he's got peace from Saul. He's got peace from a lot of his enemies. And it says it was at that point when he had a breakthrough, that's when he wrote this song and he praised God. You know, every breakthrough that God gives us should turn praise right back to him. Everything that God's gotten us through, every breakthrough, every breakdown, everything that he's gotten us through in our life should turn that praise right back to the one who got us through it. You remember that? Those times where you thought you were going to lose your mind? You needed a breakthrough because you thought you were breaking apart? And it's those times in our life where God comes through and we cried out to the Lord and he comes through. We should be praising God. Can you guys think of any breakthroughs in your life that God's gotten you through? The last year, the last 2 years. And so it says that David, it was after that victory, started praising the Lord, and it said that he spoke to the Lord. And you know what? David spoke to the Lord often. All the time, David was speaking to the Lord in the ups, in the downs, in every which way around. David always had this connection and this fellowship with the Lord. And we want to be mindful about that, you guys. We want to be mindful that we have a connection with the Lord on the daily, that we're communicating with God all the time. I mean, think about it. You know, I always think about when we're talking about talking to the Lord in relationship with him, I always think about if I only talk to Vicky once a year. Like, I don't know, maybe she would like that, but it's not going to make for a good relationship, right? We got to have connection with the Lord when it's good, when it's bad. Sometimes it's easy to come to the Lord when things are messed up. But we need to come to the Lord when things are good too, and they're looking up, and we're coming to the Lord and we're connecting with him. And this was the song that it says that David writes, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior. You save me from violence, and I'll call upon your name, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies." You know, one thing that we see with David is this guy knows how to praise and he knows how to pray. How's your prayer life? And be honest about it. Do you guys get in a rut when you're praying to God and you kind of just say the same thing over and over again? It's okay if it's you, but it's kind of like we've got our go-to prayers, you know. God, you're good. God, you're great. God, you're really good. You're really great. God, you're great and you're so good, right? And you just kind of like, God, you're so good. You're so great. Bless this food that's on my plate. And that's kind of like the extent of it. But if you guys ever want to know how to really start praying and connecting with the Lord on a deeper level, don't you guys want to do that anyway? Don't you get tired of that mantra of like, yeah, Lord, protect my family, protect my kids, you know, give me vision. You know, we've got that list. How do you break out of that? You read the Psalms and you see how David gives these attributes of God. He's my fortress. He's my rock. He's my strength. He's my salvation. So I want to encourage you guys this week, bust into the Psalms and pray through them. As you're reading them, pray through them. God, you're my rock. David knew what a rock was. It's where he would run to hide when people were chasing him and wanting to take his life. So he says, God, you are to me like a rock. When I need to run, when I need to hide, when I don't know where I'm going to go, I know I can go on you because you're my rock. You're my salvation. You're my fortress. You're my shield. David prays out to the Lord. He cries out to the Lord with all these different attributes. And what I thought was interesting is look at how many times it says my. In one sentence in verse 3, did you guys see how many times? Count them. How many times do you come up with it? I'm just curious. From verse 3, how many times do you see him saying my? Count them out for me. Let's go from verse 2 to 3. I'll give you verse 2. Verse 2 to 3, how many times does he say mine? I got all day. 5. That's close. Oh, yeah, you're close. Now you're getting cold. 6. I got 9 times. I got 9 times, Connie. So let's see. He says, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my strength, my shield, my salvation, my stronghold, my refuge, and my Savior. How was that? I got 9. That was good, right? You guys, what'd you get? 6? 2? Jesse got 2, my son-in-law. He's not reading. So anyways, but the point of this is this, that he's making his relationship with God personal, you guys. And you know what? When something's personal to you, you label it as yours, don't you? My Starbucks. It's my Starbucks. My gym. My church. You know, we were driving by with the grandbabies the other day, and we drove by the church, and we're like, that's our church. They're like, Papa, that's my church. That's my church. I'm like, yeah, because we take ownership. When it's personal to us, we take ownership and we say it's mine. And David's saying, the Lord is mine. He's mine and mine and mine. It's a personal relationship, you guys. It's more than Palm Sunday. It goes beyond Easter. It's a personal relationship. Yours. We want to remember that Christ didn't just die for me. He didn't just die for us, but he died for you. Think about that for a second. Do you got a personal relationship with the Lord? Is he personal to you? Is he your Savior? Like David's like, I don't know about anybody else, but I sure know he belongs to me. He's mine. And so David makes it personal. And then it says that in verse 4, I will call upon the name who is worthy to be praised, and I shall be saved from my enemies. The Lord saves us from our enemies, doesn't he? I shall be saved. And if you looked over David's life and you've been going through with us, how many of you guys have been going through the series with us kind of regularly through 2 Samuel? You guys have been here. One thing that you see when David says he rescues me from my enemies, you would have thought right there that it's happened right away. But the reality of it is it's taken a while for God to deliver David from his enemies, hasn't it? Over and over, I mean, he prays, and then there's like these years that go by, and nothing happens. He prays, and then he has a victory. Years go by, he has a victory. Years goes by, he has a victory. And why is that? Because if God delivered us immediately, there would be no development with us. We've got to go through some things with the Lord to grow with the Lord, I guess is what I'm saying. We can't just be delivered from everything right on the spot. So I started going to the gym, and I started thinking about it. How cool would that be? I just started, so don't judge me. So if you're like, oh, Jason, your workout sucks. Check me out in 12 weeks, okay? But I was thinking, how cool would it be if I went in there and I just did one leg extension and went home? I was like, that's cool, I'm done, right? Get my protein drink and I'm out of there. One leg extension. But I got to do some time. And there's going to be some pain. And there's going to be some discipline. And there's going to be some days I want to quit. And you know what? We get like that with God. There's going to be days you want to quit. There's going to be days that are going to be hard. There's going to be days of discipline. But you know what? God develops us through that time that we're going through everything. David wasn't immediately delivered right away. God's got to grow you. God's got to grow me. And it's really just kind of like that. You got to go in, you got to exercise with the Lord day in and day out. Work it out with the Lord. Work it in, work it out. Right? Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it's he who both works in you and has the will in you. So David says he rescues me from my enemies. In verse 5, he says, for when the waves of death surround me, the floods of ungodliness made me afraid, the sorrows of Sheol surrounded me, the snares of death confronted me in my distress, and I called upon the Lord, and I cried out to my God, and he heard my voice from his temple, and my cry had entered into his ears. And then it says, then he shook, the earth shook and trembled. So David, he cries out to the Lord in his distress, in his time of needing deliverance. And he said that death was surrounding him. He was in distress. He was depressed. He was tripping out, scratching his head a lot of the times, wondering, how's it going to work out? How's things going to come together? Have you ever been there? And he says, it was God who gave me deliverance. How many of you guys want to see the power of God to deliver you? How many? Go ahead, raise your hand. You want to see the power of God? Hold on a second. Keep your hands up for a second. How many of you guys want to see the power of God to deliver you? You want to see it? How many of you guys want to be in a position where he's got to do it? Boom, boom. What happened? Your arms got so tired. You want to be in that position where God's got to deliver? I don't. I want to watch God's deliverance from my old man chair, watching reruns of Archie Bunker. And just say, God, I want you to do a great work. I want you to do it. But you know what? We've got to be in certain situations where we need to be delivered to be delivered. But what it says here is it says that he cried out to God and he delivered him. And I was thinking about my life and how sometimes I don't feel like I can cry out to the Lord. I think it's Satan. Where it's this idea, this presence that says, Jason, after what you did this week, after what you thought, after the things you said, you've got no business calling out to God. You think he's going to hear that? And the answer is absolutely. David said he cried out in what? His success or his distress? In his distress, he called out to God. It was in those times where everything was messed up. Nothing was going right. And if you've got that idea that, you know, you got to make church at least four times a month, or, you know, you got to make sure you're giving a certain amount, or you got to make sure that, you know, you're doing this or that before you can come to God, that's not true. We can come to God anytime we turn our face to him, in distress or whatever. And David said, man, I was in distress. God healed me. I turned my face to him, and he made all things new. In verse 8, it says, then the earth shook and trembled, and the foundations of heaven quaked and were shaken because he was angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils and devouring fire from his mouth, and coals were kindled by it. And he bowed the heavens also and came down with darkness under his feet, and he rode upon a cherub and flew, and he was seen upon the wings of the wind. And he made darkness canopies around him, and dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. From the brightness before him, coals were kindled. And so David cries out to God, and it's kind of interesting because when he calls out to God, if you guys notice the way that he does it, he has such a relationship with God that when he cries out to God, it's as if God's got nothing better to do than to hear him. I cried out to God, and he came down, and he split the seas, and he parted the heavens, and he says, man, David's crying. I'm going to ride up on my cherub like a Harley, and let's go down and get him. Man, what a relationship to have, to think that God has got nothing better to do than to be there for you when you need him. Like you're the only person in the room. Is that amazing? What a relationship to have. I'm not saying we've got that relationship. I'm saying we can have it. I'm saying the Bible says so. I'm saying that David believed when he called out to God that God heard him like there was nobody else in the room to listen to. And you guys, that's where we need to strive to say, man, I've got a God that hears me, that listens to me, that's ready to part heaven and move earth on my behalf. You know, the more I look at David's life, the more I just get blown away by his connection with God. And I'm like, this is what I want. This is what I need. This is what I thirst for. And so David said that he parted everything and he got right to him when he called him. Because that's what God does. You guys remember Peter, I think it was in Matthew 17. And Peter was in distress. You remember? And Jesus was walking on water, and Peter sees it, and he's like, hey, I want to come out there, call me out there. Jesus calls him out, and Peter starts walking a little bit. And then what happened? He starts walking in faith. He's walking in faith. That's good. We should walk in faith. We should walk in faith all the time. But sometimes walking in faith is sketchy. And there's winds and there's waves, and it comes up and he starts going down. And what did he say as soon as he was going down? He said three words. He said three words. Lord, save me. Lord, save me. And there's going to be times in your life where you're stepping out in faith and it looks sketchy. And you're starting to help on worship, or you're starting a company, or you're witnessing to somebody, and you're putting yourself out there. And you're like, Lord, I'm stepping out on this. This is a big deal for me. You know, I'm going back to church. I'm doing this. This is hard. But you know what? We can cry out to the Lord. Just those three words. We don't even have to have a big vocabulary. Can you say that? Lord, save me. That's all you need. Help, right? Because it's not the way that we say it. It's who we're saying it to. David cries out to God. God's like, I'm there. And just, again, before we go, I mean, just think of having a relationship with God where you're the only thing that matters. And he's so big that he can make that way. You're it. You're everything to him. The Bible says you're the apple of his eye. And David knew that. And that's what I want for us. That's what I want for our church. I want us to know that and experience that God has that connection with you and with me, even though we're not perfect. That's the other thing, right? David wasn't perfect, but I'm going to tell you something. This is very interesting, this next part. David's talking about the victories that he had. In verse 17, it says,
And he sent from above, and he took me, and he drew me out of many waters, and he delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me. I saw David's secret to success when I read that. When it says that he delivered me from my strong enemy. One thing that we've seen with David, you guys, is that this guy was a warrior and he was successful, and everything he did, he won. And can I tell you what the secret was? He wasn't fighting battles he could win. He was engaging battles where he should have lost. That was his secret. And you're like, Jason, how's that the secret to success? Because he put his faith in God. He stepped out farther than he should have ever have stepped out in any area of his life. And every time he stepped out, God stepped in. And the secret to his success was not him fighting battles he could win, but fighting battles he should have lost, but he won because God was on his side. Do you know that God wants us to live our life every day that we step out, that we should be stepping out in so much faith in areas that we know we don't got it unless Jesus is God us? And God says, exactly, that's where I want you to be. I want you to be walking in faith like that. You know what? And let's just look at it at a practical level. You know, to have faith to come in here and to preach to you guys is easy. Going down to the farmer's market where everybody's got a Coexister bumper sticker on their Prius, that's a little harder. Or Subaru. Not that there's anything wrong with Prius or Subaru. You know, God loved the earth, and, you know, let's throw our plastic in the trash. But there's a group of people that you get around, and you can't always, you know, witness to them. But forget that. Like, let's just talk about, like, not hard people, but how about people in our family? When we're talking about David stepping out and he's winning battles that were too strong for him to win unless God was on his side, what about just witnessing to some people in our family? And we're saying, man, Lord, I just can't do it. I can't pray with my kid. I can't ask my cousin. I can't bring my sister. I don't want to say anything to my brother. What about just our family? That's a big step of faith, isn't it? That's huge for some people. And we got to remember that God doesn't want us living in a faith where we win easy battles, where when you come into the church, I pray for you here. But what about when you come into my shop? Or what about if I don't know you on the street? Those are the times where we got to step out and we see, God, I don't know. This is just above me. I don't know if I can do it. But we're not to engage in battles that we know we're going to win, but we could lose. How much are we laying up or putting on the table with your faith in God? Let me make it personal to you. How much is getting left on the table in our personal walk with Jesus because we won't step out in faith? What would you do with crazy faith? David said, I conquered enemies I had no business conquering. I won battles I shouldn't have won. I was in situations where I felt like I was way over my head. And I don't like those situations. Neither do you. Nobody wants to feel like they're out of control and there's nothing they can do. But God says, hey, step out. Step out of the boat. Take some steps of faith. Watch what happens. When you sink, I'm there. Boom, I got you. Step out of the boat. When you sink, I'm there. Boom, I got you. And so David says, I conquered these strong enemies they shouldn't have conquered. And this is where we might end the section right here. This is incredible to me, this last section in verse 21. When I read this, it really took me back because we know David. We've seen David under a microscope. That's what happens when you study the Word of God. You get to see people on an intimate level. I mean, just think if I knew all of your business, all of it. I knew all of your thoughts. I knew everything you've done. And I said, hey, today I'm going to teach a message on you. And I bring everything out in the open and we talk about it. Or you, me. We'd be out of the building. But you know what's messed up is we've been doing this to David, right? We're like looking at his life under a microscope. We know what he thinks. We know what he does. We know how he acts. And because of that, look at what he says in verse 21. And this is why I was kind of floored by all of this, really. It says in verse 21, For the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanliness of my hands, and he recompensed me, for I have kept the ways of the Lord, and I have not wickedly departed from my God, for all his judgments were before me, and as far as his statutes, I didn't depart from him. And I was blameless before him, and I kept myself from iniquity. Therefore, the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of his eyes. You know why that's interesting to me? Is because we know David had a problem with the ladies, Bathsheba, adultery, and he was creeping on Bathsheba, and then he ends up sleeping with Bathsheba, and then after sleeping with Bathsheba, he kills her husband, right? It's a long mess. It's insanity to hear what David's saying right here to me. Blameless, righteous, cleanliness, all of this. Just think about if you're here with your husband or wife, right? If you were to look over to him right now and just say, am I clean and blameless and righteous and totally, totally pure? What's your spouse gonna say? They know you. They're gonna be like, no, that's insanity. David, I mean, we haven't committed adultery or murder, going around killing people, God forbid. But David, after all of that sin in his life, says, I'm made right with God. He says that he's righteous, clean, obedient, and he's blameless. Now, how could David take that seriously? Well, in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 13, when we were studying that section, 2 years had passed after he slept with Bathsheba. And he didn't confess his sin to nobody. He thought he got away with it. You remember? I'm just going to keep this one quiet. Yeah, I bet you will, but God sees everything. And Nathan the prophet went to David and he gave him that story about the lamb and how there was this rich guy and the rich guy took the lamb of the poor guy. And David's like, that guy's got to be killed. And how dare he take that man's only lamb away from him? And Nathan said, you're the man. You took Bathsheba away from Uriah. And you're the man. God has seen what you did. And you know what David did, though? The one cool thing he did, he says, oh, man, I've sinned. I'm busted. I've sinned before the Lord. And he repents and he turns to God. And Nathan said something very interesting. And this is what it has to do with David. Being able to say, I am righteous, I am blameless, I am clean. Is because when David said, man, I have sinned, I've blown it, Nathan looks to him and he says, God has put away your sin. So when we ask the question, because this is now towards the end of David's life, and we ask the question, how could David take seriously what he just said? And the reason why is because he took the word of God seriously. When Nathan told him the word of God, your sin has been forgiven, it's been put away. You know what David did? He believed it. And he was put away, and it was put away. And it was because of that that he knew that he was blameless, righteousness, and clean. And I'm going to tell you what, if you were to tell David, from what I know of David, you're an adulterer. Like, let's just say you got in a fight with David. Don't ever do it. But like, let's just say you were arguing over Starbucks or Dutch Brothers, which one's better. And then you got a little heated and it got crazy. And then you're like, you know what? I'm going to take this up a notch. You're an adulterer murder. This is kind of crazy, right? I'm like stretching. David would be like, don't bring that up. Don't you ever bring that up. Because in God's eyes, I'm blameless, I'm clean, I'm righteous, I've given my life to God. All things have become new. I don't even know what you're talking about because God's done forgot it. David could get back up. Get this. He could get back up from such a crazy backslidden state. He could write in the Bible and 2,800 years later, we'd be reading it about him and he could say, hey, I'm a testimony of what I used to do and what God did back in the day for what he can do right now in you today. He can forgive you. He can make that slate clean. He can make you blameless, righteous before God. We talked about him justifying us after he forgives us our sins, which means it's like we never even sinned. that we have the righteousness of God because of Jesus? And he's like, read it. I'll put it down on paper for you. I'm holy. Whoa. Really?
Yeah.
And 2,000 years, he says, hey, let me be a witness of what God did to me back then, what he can do in you right now. And he puts it down there. I love David because he's so, man, that takes a lot of guts, I think.
You know, you go to prison, you're caught up in dope, you got a past, and then you're going to stand up and say you're clean?
And the Lord says, absolutely. And so David, he says that he's been made clean and righteous before the Lord. And then in verse 26, we're just going to get through the end of this. I'm going to read a little bit. We're going to touch and go and finish this out. He says in verse 26, with the merciful, you'll show yourself merciful. With the blameless, you'll show yourself blameless. With the pure, you'll show yourself pure. And with the devious, you'll show yourself shrewd. And you will save the humble people, but your eyes are on the haughty, that you may bring them down. With the merciful, you'll be merciful. Remember what Jesus said? With the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And that's what he's saying here. He's saying that God will treat us, and God will treat you, and he'll treat me the same way I treat the people around me. He's merciful to those who are merciful. Do you want God to be merciful to you? Then you got to be merciful with each other. Do you want God to be patient with you? Then we've got to be patient people and like strive and go after it. I'm not saying we flip a switch and you're patient. I'm not saying you flip a switch and you're merciful. I'm saying we've got to work towards it. Even David said, I kept myself from iniquity. That was in verse 24, meaning he kept himself from sin. You know what, guys? It's not always God. And I know that we're kind of trained to be like, oh, it's just Jesus. It's just Jesus has got to change me. It's just Jesus, you know. No, David said, I kept myself from iniquity. Like I had to make a decision on what I was going to do Friday night. I had to make a decision on when I clicked on that computer, what was going to go on it. David said, I've had it, and he did it daily. He did it every single day. He made a decision to keep himself from iniquity. But doesn't God do it? Not all the time. There has to be a responsibility on our end. At some point, we've got to be responsible and say, you know what? Maybe I ought to pull up my own big pants a little bit and pursue integrity and righteousness and holiness. And so David, he says to the merciful, we got to show people mercy and patience. And I'm saying, listen, if you got to fake it till you make it, that's what you do. So David says that in verse 29, for you're my lamp, O Lord, the Lord shall enlighten my darkness. For by you, I can run against a troop, and by my God, I can leap over walls. And as for God, his way is perfect. In verse 29, David's saying, God does supernatural things in my life. I can do a lot of stuff. I'm hopping over walls. I'm running, you know, down the freeway against Ferraris, like keeping up with them. God's doing supernatural work in my life. And I think there's a part of us that want to see God's supernatural work. We want to see evidence. We want to see God's supernatural working in our life. But sometimes the supernatural of God looks very natural. Having a supernatural work in us where we're just going out and we're inviting somebody to church, that's supernatural. Let's start there. Let's start loving who's ever at our home. Or let's start loving who's ever at our job. We want to see a supernatural work. Let's start there and watch what God does. And that is a supernatural work. And so he says in verse 32, for it, who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? God is my strength and power, and he makes my way perfect, and he makes my feet like the feet of a deer, meaning he strengthens his legs. And you know what? As Christians, this next generation we're going into, we need to have some strong legs, because I'm telling you what, we're going into some crazy stuff. And I just saw a thing in Yahoo News, this is no joke, that LA County is banning flights to Florida and Texas. Meaning if you live in LA and you got family in Texas and you gotta go see them in Florida, you can forget leaving there from LA. They're stopping you. And the reason why is because of the homophobic and transphobic laws that were passed in Texas and in Florida. And you know what LA's doing? They're saying, you ain't gonna fly there on our dime. That's crazy town. Do you understand the implications of that? A democratic state now making it to where you can't go somewhere? That's nuts. David said, you strengthen my legs like a deer, because we're going to have some strength, some strong legs to endure all this crazy stuff that's going on. And then David says, you have, in verse 36, you've also given me the shield of your salvation. Your gentleness has made me great. Man, thank God for his gentleness towards us. Amen. He's been so good to us, you guys. He's been so good to us. He's been so gentle with you. He's been so gentle with me. The one thing that's always changed my life, know this, is that God has never given me what I've deserved. He's never done that. He's always looked at me with gentleness and kindness, and it's because of that that I'm here today. He's never given me what I deserved. In fact, if you guys knew me, you probably would have been accusing God for just, man, you're not righteous. You don't ever deal with that boy. You know what? He's done it in gentleness and love. And guess what? It worked. That's the way he does it. And he says in verse 38, I pursued my enemies and destroyed them. Neither did I turn back again till they were destroyed. And I've destroyed them and wounded them so that they could not rise. They have fallen under my feet, for you have armed me with the strength for the battle, and you've subdued under me those who rose against me. And you've also given me the necks of my enemies so that I destroyed those who hated me. They looked, but there was none to save, even to the Lord, but he did not answer them. And then I beat them as fine as the dust of the earth, and I trod them down in the dirts of the street, and I spread them out. David was for real. This guy is like the ultimate UFC. You have also delivered me from the strivings of my people. You know, sometimes people that have a problem with us are not at work. It's in our own house, right? He says, my own people are like all up into my grill. And he says, you have kept me from the head of the nations. You have kept me as the head of the nations, and a people I have not known serve me, and the foreigners submit to me. And as soon as they hear, they obey me, and the foreigners fade away and come frightened from their hideouts. And let's just finish this out. Worship team, come on up. The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. Let God be exalted, the rock of my salvation. Who is God who avenges me and subdues the people under me? He delivers me from my enemies, and you also lift up above those who rise against me. And you've delivered me from the violent men. Therefore, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles, and sing praises to your name. And he is the tower of our salvation to his king, and shows mercy to his anointed, and to David and his descendants forever. So as we close out, what was on my heart, you guys, this morning as we reflect on Palm Sunday, that triumphal entry that Jesus was coming into Jerusalem, and they were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna. And they were praising the Lord, and they were so thankful for Jesus when he came in. They were so excited about the Lord when he came in. But we know it was just a few days later, those same people that were saying, man, you're so good, you're so great, we love you, you're the king. It's the same ones that were seeing, they were saying, crucify him, put him on a cross, be done with this guy. But you know, the Lord came and he gave his life to us to change us, to give us a new hope, to give us a new beginning. And I just can't get over that section where David was like, I am clean, I am righteous, I'm holy. And it's all because of Jesus, you guys. It's all because of his finished work on the cross that he's done that. And as David was reflecting on his life about all that God had did, he was praising for each one of those things. And as we leave this morning and you come in and we take communion, let me ask you this question. This is what I want to ask you when we're focusing on communion. Let's get our hearts straight and remember the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, his finished work for us, and his resurrection. And then after that, because that's number one, and then after that, I want to ask you this question to you as we enter in this last worship song. What is something in your life right now that you can say, God, I can give you glory for? God, I can praise you for? God, I can sing thanks to you for? What's the one thing, you guys? And let's give them worship and praise for that thing. Would you guys stand with me? We're going to close out right now. Let me pray for you and pray for me and pray for our community. God, we just love you and we thank you for your blessings on us, Lord. Lord, we thank you that, like as we've seen from David, that we can say we're made right, holy, blameless because of you and the work of the cross, Jesus. And we thank you so much for that, Lord. As David said, that you dealt with him with gentleness. God, you have been so gentle to us. You've been so good to us, Lord. Never giving us what we deserved. And in a spirit of humility, we just say thank you for that. Thank you for breathing fresh life into us, Lord. And if there's anybody here today and you need God to do a fresh work in you, and maybe you haven't come to that place where you're just like, I need to be changed. I need that living water. I need that hope. I need that joy in my life that only Jesus could give. I want to pray over you right now. This is your opportunity to turn to the Lord, ask him for forgiveness of your sins, in gratitude for all that he's done for you, in gentleness and meekness and love for you. So, Father, we confess our sins to you, and we ask that you would just forgive us, Lord. Cast our sins as far as the east is from the west, Lord. Put them in that sea of forgetfulness. That even now, Lord, you'll cleanse us. As we're praying, we just sense that cleansing, the cleansing of your blood, Lord, over our life. As we say we're finished with that, we're done with it, Lord. We want to press hard after you and give you our lives, Lord. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Fill us with that new hope, God, like David. We thank you for it, Lord. We love you, Jesus. And the church said, amen.